Blog Talk Radio.
Great man. He was a
good man, and you know, and he forged a lot of pathways for us in Israel, over in the land of Israel. He was very influential in the city of Dimona in Israel. He had a radio show on this call for a lot of months, and you know, he went through a lot, you know, and just to, you know, to know that he has passed away, it just kind of took me for a loop. But I mean, you know, it's there's something that happens. All praises to the Most High God. We're gonna miss him. I thought we'd get a chance to go, you know, to the kingdom together, that we get a chance to go back to the promised land on the boats together. And he used to always say, him and Brother Donnie, I was going to be the last ones out. When everybody else got on the boat, they was going to cut the lights out, and they was going to be the last ones on the boat. He was like, and I promise you, Princess. Now, he used to call me Princess. He said, I promise you, Princess, it ain't going to be a dry eye on the boat. Men and women going to be crying. And, you know, he's gone, you know, and it just touched my heart today. You know, the queen is a loss, but, you know, but that's one of ours. You know, and all praises be to the Most High Yah. You know, we extend our heartfelt condolences to his family, to his children, his wives, the people that are in Dimona. You know, it's all over the internet. It's all over the internet that, you know, he's gone. And it's one of those moments, you know, where you have to just take the time to say, you know, Yah, I thank you for having the opportunity to bring him into my life. You know, all praises be to the Most High Yah, you know, that we lost someone, you know, that is a part of, that is a part, was a pioneer for the movement of Israel. I mean, you know, him and Ben Amin took the people to Dimona years ago, and the relationships that he forged, you know, with politicians and high-ranking political officials in different countries in the Middle East, and the things that he was, you know, instrumental in doing for the Israelite family was just phenomenal, you know. And it's just one of those things where it makes you sad, you know, but he completed his purpose, you know. And it's just one of those, you know, one of those things where you know something is wrong in your spirit. But, you know, the Most High will always let you know, and it's just sad to see, you know, that he's gone. I wanted to, if you guys want to know how his name is spelled, you can Google it. Very instrumental. Prince, well, you know, I spell Prince, P-R-I-N-C-E, and his first name was Asiel, A-S-I-E-L, Ben Israel. And he didn't have a Y in the front of his name. It just was Israel, I-S-R-A-E-L. And he was born in Chicago. They in the Chicago Sun-Times, they said he was Chicago-born black Hebrew leader, celebrated at a memorial service. You know, the life and legacy of Prince Asiel ben Israel, Southside-born Hebrew Israelite leader. He was described as the beacon of strength for the African Hebrew Israelite community, who led thousands to Israel in a fierce and passionate advocate for black excellence both in Chicago and internationally. He died August the 21st at 81 years old. He leaves to mourn 3 wives, 15 children, and over 60 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. When I watched the memorial service, you know, I saw the mayor of Chicago there. You know, I saw Louis Farrakhan was there. I mean, this man was very well known. He said, black Hebrews believe they are direct descendants of the Israelites of the Old Testament. The groups also believe in everlasting life, even after death. Just some of the things that they put in there just was just amazing. You know, the people that attended was Mayor Lori Lightfoot, U.S. Representative Danny Davis, U.S. Representative Bobby Rush. These are the people that pushed along that 400-year law. These are some of the same people that were instrumental in making sure that 400-year law was established in the United States of America. Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, just prominent people that came through, that this man made it through in order to forge the pathway. The Most High, this was his assignment. These are the people that, you know, the trailblazers that are before us, that make the pathway straight for us, that, you know, that he has used to put in these positions. And, you know, he went to prison at 70 years old, you know, because he was trying to, he was sentenced to 7 months in federal prison in 2015 for failing to register as an agent of Zimbabwe. He was actually negotiating some things, and because he didn't register, this government locked him up. They were going to give him 7 years. And everybody began to pray, and they only gave both of the men 7 months. And I remember when he went to prison and he got out, and I called him. I said, I heard you got. He said, they rushed me out of there, princess. They didn't want me up in there. I was up in there teaching and stuff. He said they was glad to get rid of me. I bet they were. He was that type of man. You know, he was up in there telling the prisoners, the Israelite men, that you are the Hebrew Israelites of the Old Testament. He was in the federal institution, in the penitentiary, talking about Yah. So, I mean, you know, it was a blessing. And I played that song today because that was his favorite song. That was exactly his favorite song. So I am trying my best to find the clipping where I can let you hear him talk about his prison stay. And he said, I'm glad to get out of there. I said, well, what about your dietary restrictions? Did they meet you with your dietary restrictions? He said they worked it out. I said, all praises be to the Most High, yeah. But, you know, these are the people that some of you may not know anything about. Like I said, we've been around a long time, you know, and just to see, you know, that we have lost someone like that, it touches my heart. He is going to be missed, you know, but we'll see him again. We're going to see him again when we get on the other side. I believe, you know, that the Most High is going to make a way for us to see him again because he yet lives. What did Christ tell the disciples? He said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. He said, believest thou that? So all praises be to the Most High, the missing of Prince Asiel Ben Israel. He was a very instrument for you all who don't know him. You know, he was a trailblazer for the Hebrew Israelite community, both domestically and internationally, all over the world. Met with all type of influential political leaders all over the world. Very well known in the land of Israel, in Jerusalem itself, you know, with the rabbis in Jerusalem. The community of Dimona did a memorial service for him as well, you know, and there's nothing but good things to say, you know, because he was always looking out for the children of Israel. And he had the opportunity to meet people on a different scale, to be able to understand internationally how this works. And I remember a long time ago he told me, he said, we've got to get together because I want to introduce you to Winnie Mandela. He said, I want to take you to Africa to meet Mama Mandela before she leaves here because she needs to be able to see you. And we never got a chance to do that. These are the people that the Most High has put in position to be able to make the right connections, to move things through. This thing has been moving for a long time. This is a well-oiled machine that's been moving for a long time. He said, I want to take you to Jerusalem so that you can meet the brothers and sisters in Dimona. And my sentiments was, I don't want to go to the land where the people who are ruling the land tell me it's time to leave my own land. Because I'm not going to be able to take that. I'm not going to be able to go to Jerusalem and know that this is the land that the Most High has given unto us. And then I have to leave and go back to a land that I know that's not mine. And that was the thing that was, I just couldn't do it. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do that. But those are the conversations that we had. You know, and he would always call me princess. He was like, princess, you got to come to Jerusalem. You got to come and see the land. I said, I can't. I just can't do it. But this is the person that has gone. He has passed away August the 21st. He died at 81 years old. He's going to be missed. And, you know, we are, our heartfelt condolences go out to his family and his children and all of the people in Dimona, and because they were at one point putting together a work program, and they were trying to negotiate a work program for some of us, to some of the Israelites that are in America, to actually go over into Jerusalem and work for a while under this visa. But of course, the powers that be shut that down. And they weren't allowing us to do that. And we kind of put together a whole, we've been working on this thing for a long, long time. You know, and this is just, it's a loss. It's a loss. You know, it's a loss. Some of his own children were fighting and may still be fighting. I'm not quite sure, but I know back then they were fighting in the army, the Jerusalem army over in the Israelite land, they were fighting for within and signed up for the army. And they did this because they were told that if they did this, that their families would get citizenship. And I don't know if this ever happened either. But these are the people that the Most High has put in our way as trailblazers. They are the ones who have pushed this thing through. You know, so when you hear us talking about the things of Israel, you know, we've been around for a little while. You know, we've lost a great man. We have lost a great man, and he is truly going to be missed. You know, and you can, I'm just so sad that I did not know. I am so sad that we weren't notified, because that is one of the funerals that I would have definitely made it to. It's just a lot, but we're going to get through it. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. I didn't want to, you know, because we always take the time and acknowledge everybody else. We acknowledge all the other nations and their losses, all the people that died, you know, but this was one of our own. This was one of our own, and, you know, we never got the chance to do the things that we wanted to do, and we never got a chance to make that trip and make that travel like he wanted us. He wanted me to, but I thank y'all that I had the opportunity to know him. I thank the Most High for his life, his legacy, his purpose, that he completed it, because he was, like I said, he was one of the trailblazers, and he completed his purpose. So he has gone on, you know, to that place, and we will see him again. Anybody have any questions at all whatsoever? I know I've been rattling for a minute and rambling on, but, you know, these are the things that we have to stop and take time. And we will still send, you know, a card, and we will still send flowers and do what we need to do to make sure that we get them to his family, to let him know that the nation of Yehuda just found out about it, you know, and we do send our heartfelt condolences to their family. Area code 405, your mic is open, you're on the air.
I didn't touch the button.
Hello, area code 405.
Yeah, I didn't push in.
Oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Okay, yeah, so there, anybody else have a question, comment, anything like that, please push one and let us know, you know. And see what, you know, what's going on in the world today. It's a lot of different things happening. And see, you know, I've got a lot of emails. Area code 478, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just saying, you know, his family has my condolences. And, man, that's sad news.
was a very intelligent brother. I mean, woo! You know, he had the world travel to match his intelligence when it came to the things that we read about. I'll say that, you know, Syria and and Babylon and all the, he's had that experience and done things to the point where he told me one day, he said, "This is real, sis." He said, "Princess Jaina, this is real. This whole thing, in other words, the danger that comes with this is real." You know, and I remember he told me, he said, "I've been waiting on you a long time." He said, "You done riled up this old lion, and this lion been waiting on you. We got work to do." You know, and it was like, oh, my gosh. You know, and I you know, well, we, like I said, whatever it was that we were supposed to do, we did it. So he was a very intelligent man. You know. I'm trying to find see if I can find 2014. Let me see. Hold on just 1 second. I'm going to get this on, and I want to make sure. Yerushalayim, how has your day been going?
My day's been going pretty good. It's been going very well. Sitting here getting ready for the Day of Atonement and everything, you know, being kind of focused. It's been a good day, been quiet, peaceful.
All right, sounds like a plan. We getting ready. We getting ready. We definitely are getting ready, you know. We're going to get through it, though. You know, for some people, this is their first time doing it. You know?
Yeah.
Their first time doing it. But we're going to make it through. We're going to get through it. You know, tonight at 8 o'clock, we're going to be back here. And, you know, we're going to do whatever we need to do to get through this. And it's a good day, you know, even if you got to work.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Yes, indeed. All praises. Yeah, so other than that, you know, let me see if I can pull him up here a minute, just a second.
Excerpt of reading from this book right now. This is South Africa, what year? 1918. In 1918, a black leader of the Church of God and Saints of Christ in South Africa claimed to have had a vision in which he witnessed two white governments at war. Suddenly, a baboon appeared and crushed the two white warring parties. For teaching that the baboon was the native population and the two armies of the British and Dutch governments, he was excommunicated. He then settled near Bull Hope, not far from Queenstown, where he founded his own Israelite colony. As bishop, prophet, and watchman, he taught his followers to observe the Sabbath on Saturday, commemorate Passover annually at the Bull Hope and his tabernacle, and to regard the New Testament as fiction of the white man.
Now, I wanted the listening audience to know that the Yehuda Project
now, this is
and
Prince
the Yehuda
Hafiel.
Nation didn't just up and do this 15 years ago. This is a history of God's people scattered throughout the world and in America, in South Africa, in the African nations of South Africa, Zimbabwe, Ghana, and East Coast as well, not just Ethiopia. Not just Sudan. We have done extensively, and I said that I started moving across West Africa in the 70s, starting in Senegal, and I met the late Sheikh Anta Diop, the famous historian and anthropologist and Egyptologist, who said to me that it was absolutely no doubt scientifically that he had proven that the Egyptian people were black, and that if the Hebrew people stayed in Egypt 400 years, there was no way for them not to be black and African. And we then began a relationship of establishing facts so that we would not be accused of grafting in somebody else's history, and it was not the history of our people that was scattered to the ends of the earth. So I wanted to do that by way of introduction first, my beloved sister and brother, so that now I'll stop and let y'all ask me anything you want, and I will continue to share with you my background and my history.
Wow, that's powerful. I mean, you know, just knowing that 1668, that we reached that far back where we knew who we were, you know, because a lot of things have been said on this show that a lot of us did not know who we were when we came over on the slave ships. We had no idea who we were, and, you know, it leads me to question because of the slaves and some of the songs that they used to sing, it's speculative because it sounded as though they knew what they had given up. They knew why they were there, you know, and all of this is rich history. It's very powerful history. And could you announce the book one more time and the name of the author, please?
Yes, I'll do this throughout the show, too, so that those who join later will be able to get this. And what we are doing now, my beloved sister, is we laying the foundation for the show that you've offered and extended to me to do on behalf of our people so that the history of what we are doing and have been doing over the years will be documented so that our people will get the research and do it themselves and read it for themselves to know that we are not making up stuff, but it's documented by world-famous historians and anthropologists that exist before and after. The name of the book is Black Judaism, An American Movement by James Landing, Landing, out of the University of Illinois Press, who published the book.
All right. All right, Brother Donia, do you have any questions for him?
Excuse me. First and foremost, I want to let you know that it's an honor and a privilege to be able to converse with you over this venue, and I hope and pray that we'll be able to stand up strong with this opportunity, you understand, to reestablish ourselves as true Hebrew Israelites in the land of Israel.
Well, that is aim. You know, I didn't have to make that prayer. We went back into Israel and laid that foundation back in 1968-69 and the early 70s. And we fought. And in 1993, the American government sent its ambassador down to Dimona, Arad and Mitzpeh, to announce that those African Americans that had come over to establish themselves as the Israelites are now recognized as such by the American government, and the Israeli Minister of Interior came down and announced that we have been received for who we are. So what is taking place now is a refinement of the people that came over. You must remember prophetically the wheat and the tares were mixed together. So they had to grow together, and then it would be a shaking out. And those of you who know prophecy know that in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, it talks about the dry bones coming together. And I see that what we're doing between the Yehuda nation and Better World is the original African Hebrew Israelite nation of Jerusalem, are those two sticks coming together for us never to separate again. Because there's going to be many, many people trying to break up what God is putting together, but it won't work.
You have
All right, that's him. So if you want to hear this in its entirety, all you have to do is Google Prince Asiel Ben Israel, the Yehuda Project, special guest, and it is, and you'll be able to Google it and hear the whole show. And there are several programs where he was on this show. So this, you know, I just want to play that little bit of it to let you guys understand just who he was and what he did. You know, because a lot of people come on this show and they think we just got started yesterday. And, you know, I just have to tell people we have been here a long time. You know, and made connections with a lot of people. So, you know, and a lot of people have come through this radio show because this was the first thing that we started. You know, and all praises to the Most High Yah. You know, we have to understand, you know, that we, everybody has a part to play. And, you know, us having an opportunity to meet him was a privilege and an honor. It really was, you know. Now, you know, we came together and did what we did. The Most High used us to do what we did together, to make that connection, in Israel with the Israelites in Israel, to bring the Israelite nations, the people of Israel together. And it is a beautiful thing that now some of you are just now waking up, but you're waking up into something that was established. There was an establishment there that was made. So all praises be to the Most High Yah. Anybody have anything else you want to talk about when it comes to that, and then we'll move on with our program. But I couldn't not let this day go by without acknowledging him and really letting you guys understand who this person was and how deep his roots go. And I'm really upset that nobody called us and told us. But you know how it is when somebody passes away, you think you've touched everybody. You think because he knew everybody, you know, and you think that he had, you know, that you've touched all of his connections, you know, but you miss people. And, you know, we definitely going to make them, you know, send something to them to let them know that we definitely feel their pain and we will be praying for them and holding them up. Anything else? Anybody else have anything you want to share or ask questions about that? The book, you know, he gave us access to the book and all of those things. And then back then, he was in his 70s back then, you know, so all praises be to the Most High, yeah. Now, there's a few other things I want to share with you. Now, you know, let me say something. Every time something happens in the world that we live in, you know, the Christians come out, the prophets come out, the prophecies come out, and all kind of stuff. So don't be weary about people that come out with all kind of different videos and stuff. This one particular video I wanted to share with you, you know, just a few minutes of it and let you know what's happening in Israel now. Here we go.
We look at recent developments in the finding of the mysterious red heifer. Could this be prophecy fulfilled before our eyes? Find out. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am David Hart.
I'm Kirsten Hart.
And I am Jeffrey Seif.
Today's program seems to be all about prophecy being fulfilled, maybe before our very eyes.
Could very well
right
be.
Now.
Okay, this is the Red Heifer program, right? So I dressed in red in honor of the title of our program.
Yes, but no one's going to call you a heifer.
Please
how about
don't.
That? No. You got the red down. But where does it come from, a program dedicated to a cow? And that's exactly what it is, by the way, and I'll tell you why.
Well, okay. The thing is, Christians, really, maybe when we took Bible classes years ago, read through the Red Heifer, and we had to, you know, make it through Old Testament history.
Yeah.
But this is something vitally important in prophecy,
to,
is
to
it
religious
not?
Jews, yes, and evangelicals that have an eschatological lens, a prophecy lens. It's not the kind of stuff that shows up in everyday walk-through-the-Bible courses, but Let's open up the book. Numbers in Hebrew, Bamidbar, in the wilderness. They're there, and Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, is God's spokesperson. Chapter 19, Adonai, the Lord, spoke to Moses, saying, this is the statute of the Torah. It's an important principle. Speak to Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, that they bring a flawless red heifer and bring it to the Kohen, to the priest. It's there in the book. And we got our television cameras. We poked our nose when Eliezer's associates came to Texas. And why? Because they had some red heifers that were spotless. Why is that significant? There's a whole chapter in the Bible on it here in chapter 19. And the red heifer is used for dedicatory purposes. It's kind of like a child will have a baby dedication. Well, for religious Jews who one day pray for the temple to be rebuilt, this is the oil that's used for the baby dedication. It's a step in the direction of the fulfillment of prophecy. It's the way religious Jews see it. We see here in the literature, they say, bring the high priest to do so and so. Well, the religious that are interested in the priesthood came knocking on Texas doors, and we were there when it was opened up, and when we look at it, goodness gracious, to see that on camera, these religious Jews are just excited, and there's news crews there, there's others there, as they're inspecting these heifers, and they gave them the bona fides, they gave them the legitimate status, and they were thrilled.
They were thrilled, and to think that there hasn't been a red heifer in over 2,000 years since the destruction of the last temple.
Not that they found. You can have a red cow, but their specifications, you can't find a single non-red hair, and it's got to be spotless, and they inspect them, they groom them, they go over it with a fine-tooth comb, and these came out kosher, good to go.
I think he's kind of passionate about this today. Yes.
It's just so interesting.
Oh,
I got to ramp it up,
because
if I don't give it a good introduction, people won't know what we're talking about. And even with a good introduction, you might not know what we're talking about. But
all right, so that's basically what it is. They went to Texas. They found five red heifers that had no spot, no blemish. They brought them back to Israel. Now, this is a part of the purification of sin that they feel like has to be done before they can even begin the temple. Now, the issue is that the animal has to be 2 years old. These animals are only a year. So they're there, and as long as there is no blemish on them, and they have no issues on them, they can use the animal to be able to burn the heifer, and her ashes are sprinkled on the people and over the priest. And this is the purification law that they will use in order to start to rebuild that third temple. So this is why this is such a big deal for these red animals that they have found. So I just wanted to share that with you. That's something that I found. This is in Numbers chapter 19, where you can find it, and you can look up the significance of the red heifer. You know, but this is why they are really excited over Israel right now, because this is moving forward. I mean, this stuff is beginning to move. So, you know, if that happens, then the cow's only a year old. They have to wait until they get two. And then once they're 2 years old and they still don't have a spot or a blemish, then they can go ahead and start the proceedings. And the man was saying they don't have to have a temple to make the sacrifice. All they have to do is have an altar, and they can sacrifice the animal up on the temple mount. And then once they sprinkle the ashes, then they're ready to start building that third temple. So that is definitely something that, you know, I just wanted to share with you guys so that you won't get alarmed. Because, I mean, once it hits, it's going to be all over the place. All over. You know, that they're getting ready to do this. They've been ready to build this temple for a long time. And it just seems like things are really amping up. I mean, you know, with the death of the queen and, you know, the Pope requesting that all of the money that is outside of the Vatican Bank be turned over and brought back to the Vatican Bank by September the 30th. Every institution that has any monies that is dealing with the Vatican has to be put in the Vatican Bank. It's like everybody is, I told you, the pieces are being repositioned and everything is getting in place for that time. You know, and we have to be ready as well. That's why tonight is so important. You know, when we go through our Day of Atonement, you know, this is the day that you really begin to talk to the Most High. You really begin to repent for every thought, every deed, everything that you thought was wrong. And really begin to, you know, to tell him, you know, how sorry you are. And just to go before for direction, you know, because that is what it is. You know, please forgive me for my sins, you know, my children, my children's children, you know, and those type of things. Because as we move forward, we have to really begin to pray more and more, you know, toward what we're doing. So if anybody have any questions about that, please feel free to push one, you know, because this is where we are today. These are the things that we have to have in place today, you know, and I thank the Most High for you guys, you know, the new group, but you guys have been faithful, and, you know, we just keep doing what the Most High has called us to do and make this happen. But prayer is the thing. Prayer is the key. You know, and there is no specific way to pray. You just talk to him. You know, have mercy on me. Forgive me for my sins. I mess up sometimes. My thoughts aren't always pure. You know, sometimes I get impatient. I don't have the faith that I should have. You know, I want to make sure that everything is okay, and I want to know that my security is okay. I want to make sure my health is okay, but I know that all things are in your hands. You know, help me to get through this, you know, and just talk to him just like you talk to me or anybody else, you know, and he knows you. He knows your shortcomings. He knows the things that sometimes we struggle with, because everybody's struggling with something, everybody. Don't matter who you are, everybody is struggling with something. You know, and he will help you get through it. He will help you to get through it so that you can do what you need to do and be faithful in what it is you're supposed to do. You know, so, though this is what this is all about. This is what, you know, today is all about, and why we're here, you know, to be able to give insight on that and let everybody know that this is where we're going. Because they haven't stopped moving, and we can't either. Everybody's moving forward. We got a new king. They ain't even stopped. As soon as she took her last breath, he was inducted in. We had a new king, King Charles of England. They had the order of succession, you know, and the continuity of their monarchy keeps going. You know, everything moves on in place, and everybody keeps going. And we do what we've been called to do. They do what they've been called to do, and we do what we've been called to do, and that's pray. You know, pray for our deliverance. Even though it's already mapped out, the way has already been made. He hasn't made that path available to us that we know, but we know that he wrote the end from the beginning. The way has already been made. The people who are supposed to bring the boats, they already know. It's not going to be a surprise. They already know. They're getting that together now. You know, how they're going to house us and where they're going, already been put in place. You know, so we just keep doing what we're doing by faith and believing by faith and moving by faith. And we do what we have to do, you know, because we're a big part of the story. The story won't move forward without us. They can't do anything over us. Everybody has a part to play. And we have to play our part as well. You know, like I said, there are Israelites in Israel right now living in the city of Dimona. You know, and they've been there struggling and fighting to maintain the fact that they're going to stay on the land, because that land was given to them by the Most High Elohim. You know, and as much as, you know, people struggle and do whatever they do, they're there. Now, you know, how they live and what they do, I don't get into that part because I don't know anymore. But, you know, everybody has a part to play, and they're over there for a reason. You know, what that is, I don't know. They say, you know, we used to always say they got to come out of there. We don't know what the Most High got them over there for, you know, but like we over here, we just have to begin to do what we do and hold our our feet to the fire so we can do and be obedient to what he's called us to do, you know. Because we getting ready to come upon it now, you know, we're here now. And the time is moving to the point where, you know, 2024 is rolling up on us real fast. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in 2024, but they say it's the 70th Jubilee. So it's the 70th 50-year Jubilee since we've been in the land. Is 2024. So we'll see if that's significant, if that means anything. All praises be to the Most High Yah. You know, but I just find it interesting. Anybody that want to push one, please feel free to do so. Not only does he have Israelites who are informing the people about the second Exodus, but he got Christian prophets now that are talking about the second Exodus. Christian prophets that are telling the people that we're getting ready to leave here. You know, so this is not something that's just far-fetched that we just made up yesterday, just like the 400 years we didn't make up. You know, these are the things that we have to be ready for and get ready to move and move when he says move. So, you know, I just wanted to share that with you and let you know, that this stuff didn't just start because, you know, because some people think we, like I said, people think we knew it. They be like, oh, y'all don't know. We've been around a while. So, you know, this didn't just start. It just didn't just start. We just being obedient and doing what he tells us to do. You know, and the biggest thing, too, now is his power. You know, because we had a conversation in the women's class a couple of last Tuesday about his power. You know, and you have to, you know, we're getting ready to get prepped to be able to do that. Now, everybody's not going to be able to do that because the wheat and the tare grow together. But we will be doing mighty exploits at some point in this whole process. We've got to get spiritually matured for that. We got to get ready because if we are his people and we believe we are his people, he's going to use us to be able to display that power. You know, everybody been trying to figure out how to use that power. Everybody has. They got scholars trying to find if it's a special code. And they try. I remember when they had a whole thing about a code in the Bible, and you got to find the code. It's his. He's going to give it to whom he will when the time comes. And it's going to be Israel that's going to work in that. And we have to be ready to do that. That's why I don't talk about the Edomites. I don't deal with the people that are in Israel, the Israelis who say they're Israelites. I try not to even deal with that because our job is to gather ourselves. That's what he told us to do. He didn't tell us to run nobody down. He didn't tell us to run nobody out of nowhere. He didn't tell us to start getting ready to wage no war. He didn't tell us to disrespect and be evil to people. He didn't tell us. He told us as a nation to gather ourselves. And in the process, we have been allowed to create culture. We have been able to allow to create understanding. He has given us knowledge. He's given us wisdom. All the things that was necessary to be able to gather together as a nation. Some of you were even able to use your religious exemptions on your job with the COVID shot. That's major. It's major stuff. You know? He's working it out. We're getting ready to move this thing forward. And it's moving forward. Nobody's being moved out the way. We're just moving forward. The players are being repositioned. And our biggest weapon is prayer. That's what's going to get it done. There's nothing else that's going to get it done but prayer. Prayer is where it's going to get done at. It is. I mean, it's just the way it is. You know? And like I said, we all struggling with something. We dealing with something. But we're going to get past that too. Not to say that we won't. I mean, because look at what Moses did. Look at what Moshe did. Moshe was given the authority to stretch out the rod and see the Most High split the Red Sea in half. moved the waters up like a wall, and the people walked across on dry land. He was able to call forth plagues upon Egypt and did what he did, and then got all the way to the wilderness and disobeyed by hitting the rock when he told him to speak to it. So we all got issues. I mean, everybody got issues. We're going to have to learn how to control our character. That is going to be the biggest thing. No. Solomon. Solomon had so much wisdom, he gave him wisdom and riches. What did he do? He got all them women, married all them women, and let them erect gods in the land of Israel, statues, and allow them to bow down to the statues in Jerusalem. All the things. So we're humans and we have issues. But he still uses us for whatever purpose we have. Split the kingdom in half. He was instrumental for splitting the kingdom in half. The northern tribe went one way, and he left the southern tribe because of the promise that he made to King David. So we got a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. You know, and like I said, he's going to allow us to work in that power. We got to get ready for that. And you have to examine yourself. You know, why do I want this? Do I want this because I want to be able to predict how things go with the people that I, in my family, and the things that go on in my life? Or do I want to use it when he wants me to use it, for whatever purpose he wants me to use it for? You know, we got to be, because, you know, yeah, the Bible said these signs should follow them which believe. That does say that, and it should. You know, but evidently there's more to it than that, because it's not. And it's not happening. And it's not happening for a reason. No. And there's no special formula that you're going to find. There's no special wording. There's no special person. There's no special nothing in it. When he gets ready to do that, he will allow you to do that, not a minute before. It's just not going to happen. You know, so we have to be okay with that, because people will say, well, okay, you all have come to the realization that you Israel. You Israelites, you his people, why are you not working in it? Because he doesn't want us to right now. When he wants us to, we will. But I guarantee you, we're going to work in it before you do, and you don't know who you are. Because knowing who you are is not enough. You have to begin to live a certain way. So, you know, those are all things that are important to what we're doing today, and, you know, all things that are moving us forward. Anybody have anything else to say today on the show, or anything that you want to say today before we dismiss? Because we have to meet at 8 o'clock tonight, and I don't want to keep talking, and nobody wants to talk about anything in particular. Does anybody have anything you want to say today before we dismiss the show? Because I'm going to end the show at 4:30 today, so that we'll have a chance to go eat dinner and do whatever you need to do for before the High Holy Day starts. Because, again, this is the Day of Atonement. Today at 8 o'clock, we're going to meet. We're going to meet on the same line that we meet on Saturday. And we're going to meet at 8 o'clock. We're going to blow the shofar, explain what it is. And then from 8 tonight to 8 tomorrow night, we will afflict our soul. We will try not to eat anything during that day. If you have to drink some water, if you feel sick, please do that. If you have medication that you have to take and you have to eat something and take your medication and then start from there. You know, some people may not be able to do all of from 8 to 8. Do what you can in the midst of it. You know, don't watch television, you know, anything like that. This is supposed to be a conversation between you and the Most High. That's what this is. You know, and getting ready for whatever's next. Because like I said, this thing don't stop moving. It's moving. It seems like it's moving faster now. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it seems like it's in the spirit. It's just rapidly moving faster, you know. And it's the same 24 hours in a day. But in the spirit realm, it seems like it's just moving a lot faster for some reason. You know, and I don't know whether that was the release of it, you know, but we watched different things happening on Saturday, different phenomena in the sky. all kind of stuff happening, and we have to be prepared for that because we know he's taught us all these things, and we know what to look for, and we know what's coming. But the biggest thing is we're leaving the land, this land of our captivity. I don't know how, I don't know where, but we're leaving this land of our captivity and making this thing happen. So, I just want to say, Brother Yerushalayim, are you still with us?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Would you please say a prayer over us so we can get, before we start this, session today?
Yes, ma'am, I most definitely will. I'm going to give everybody just a second to turn to the east. Okay, we're going to go ahead and start praying. Say, blessed be you, O Yahweh. Blessed be you, the Ancient of Days. Blessed be you, Yeshua, the Son of Yah. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to go before you tonight for our atonement, to confess our sins, and try to get better each and every day. We pray, Father, that you watch over each and every one of us, not just us on this call, but those of our nation, our people. Watch over this earth. We pray that you keep us and guide us and bless us. Keep us strong. Keep us healthy. We pray for our health and strength. But most of all, we give you the honor, the glory, the praise, the power, and honor. And thank you for everything and all the things you've given and provided. We also pray, Father, that it be thy will that you deliver us from these lands of our captivity so that we can go to a place where we can better serve you. We thank you for everything and all the things. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All praises be to the Most High Yah. We thank you for that prayer. Sister Yusantia, thank you so much for the email, for the alert for Prince Asiel. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. That was something that I really didn't know anything about. You guys continue to hold us up in prayer. We all going to be ready for tonight. Anybody that needs any kind of special prayer while we're going in, for the 24 hours, you know, please let us know. Send us an email so we'll know, you know, beforehand. Or you can tell us tonight at 8 o'clock and we'll be able to, you know, pray for you again before we start. This is the time, like I said, if you have to work, you got lunch hour, go in the bathroom, sit on the toilet stool and say a prayer to the Most High. Talk to him all day. You don't have to speak to talk. You know, you can talk to him in your mind. Walk outside for a minute. People walk outside to smoke. You can go outside to pray. You know, if you have to work, you have to work. But he knows what we're trying to do in this captivity and how important it is. So we really do acknowledge and we thank the Most High for the ability to have this show and to be able to talk to the people that are around the world. And I think it's 4:27. That's close enough. You guys have a wonderful rest of your evening. We'll see you tonight at 8 o'clock. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your day.